China says it wants to put more money in more pockets to make its people more happy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Violence continues today in Libya, where demonstrators are demanding the ouster of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. It's not only political there, though. They're also very mad about high unemployment and rising food costs, something that protesters in other countries have also complained about. Well, in China, the government doesn't want to take any chances on a revolt. So this week, officials are unveiling a five-year economic plan as part of the National People's Congress in Beijing. The theme? More money for the masses. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz is with us from Shanghai to talk about it. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Steve.
I thought China's economy was growing by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, what's wrong, right? There's no doubt China's economy is growing fast. But for the past 5 years, household income in China hasn't grown as fast as the GDP. And that means that on an individual level, people aren't seeing as much growth in their wallets as the country is in its coffers. And that's worrisome, especially with the price of food and everything else here climbing so quickly. On Saturday, Wen Jiabao, who is China's premier, told the country the government is on a mission to raise household income. I spoke to economist Michael Pettis about this, and here's what he had to say about Wen's promise.
I don't think they can do it. I mean, they can do it, but they can only do it if they accept much, much lower levels of growth.
What he means is that in order to raise household income, China will have to raise interest rates, raise wages, and raise its currency. These three things are the reason China's had so much growth in the first place. In other words, cheap loans, cheap labor, and cheap exports. So changing this formula won't be easy.
And what does that mean for the U.S., Rob?
Well, most importantly, it would mean your average middle-class Chinese would have more money to spend on things like iPads, Big Macs, Buicks, and every other iconic American product that's sold here. In short, this would turn more Chinese into consumers, and that'd be great for American businesses.
All right. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz with us from Shanghai. Rob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Oil is trading above $106 a barrel today, and AAA reports gas prices in the U.S. have shot up 33 cents in the last 2 weeks alone. In Spain today, the government's trying to cut gas consumption amid the high oil prices by lowering the speed limit to 68 miles an hour. Spanish drivers aren't very happy about that. From Madrid, the BBC's Sarah Rainsford reports.
The government says by going slower, drivers will save fuel. The temporary measure was introduced as a way to counter the rapid rise in oil prices. Spain hopes drivers will take all that extra money they don't spend on gas and spend it on consumer goods and other things here at home instead. But many economists are deeply sceptical, like Javier Diaz Jimenez at the IESE Business School here in Madrid.
It really, truly, to me, makes no economic sense whatsoever. I would give it the gold medal of an absurd policy measure.
Many Spaniards object to the slowdown. Some criticize it as Soviet-style interference in their lives. They also suspect it'll put a brake on Spain's economy, not improve it, especially important in a country where the unemployment rate is over 20%. Plus, drivers point out that cutting the speed limit doesn't come free. Just changing the numbers on road signs around the country has already cost Spain $350,000. In Madrid, I'm the BBC's Sarah Rainsford for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mixed at the moment. European shares mostly higher. Asian shares, though, closed down today. Moody's downgraded Greece's debt again. And there's a bankruptcy hearing starting in Delaware today for Tribune Company. The big media giant owns the Chicago Tribune and Los Angeles Times. Wall Street Friday, the Dow was down 88 points, about 0.75% to end the day and the week at 12,169. For the week, markets were pretty much flat.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com.
Jury selection gets underway tomorrow in the insider trading trial of Rajaratnam. The founder of hedge fund giant Galleon Group faces up to 25 years in prison. More than two dozen other traders are charged as well. And the Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein could also testify in that trial. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is with us now to talk about the broader implications of all this. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
What are these cases really about?
What they're about is a group of hedge funds made a lot of money by getting information they shouldn't have gotten. And the people who were involved in all aspects of this are being charged with a variety of things, such as insider trading and cheating.
You know, a lot of this, Alan, has been going on a long time, but these specific cases were part of what happened during the financial crisis. And yet there were certainly bigger players doing stuff that, while not insider trading, led to the financial crisis. Why haven't we seen charges against them, these bigger players on Wall Street?
Because to bring charges against the big boys, you need to have a criminal offense. And stupidity, greed, double dealing, there's been plenty of that, but no one has managed to show that there's a criminal offense. Now, I could see why this makes people angry and it annoys me. It's really shocking, but this had nothing to do with the financial crisis. Absolutely nothing.
Let me ask you this. Will Wall Street reform take care of any of this stuff?
Surely you're just...
I'm going to take that as a no.
Yeah, well, the things all these people are accused of doing have been against the law for years, and Wall Street reform isn't going to stop it. But it's pleasant for some people to think so.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan with us from New York. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
And finally, police were stumped after a plane that started off with a bunch of cash in the cargo area landed in St. Martin a quarter of $1 million short and a passenger on the loose. Brink Security had placed three sacks of money totaling more than $1.5 million in the compartment. How'd the thief get into cargo, by the way? Well, he had complained of not feeling well, and he stayed in the lavatory for quite a while, during which time he removed panels separating the toilet from the cargo area. He got off the plane with $238,000, a fee perhaps he charged the airline for using the bathroom. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. Grab the podcast while you're at our website. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The protests in Cairo were about rights for everyone, but one particular group was there in force, and they are making sure they're not forgotten.
This is a potentially a battleground as women seek to claim their part of this revolution and to prevent any backsliding.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Egyptian Women and Economic Equality, next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.